On Air Music presents Long Player.
Well, kia ora, I'm Matthew Crawley. I'm not Hunter Keane, but this is Hunter Keane's radio show, and Hunter normally talks to people for a long time about their long players. And with Hunter away, I have taken control of the studio, and I've forced them to let me talk to my favourite band, Kooda Cooties. So I have been successful. At least 3 out of 5 of them are here. Please, if you don't mind, introduce yourselves, Kooda Cooties.
Hi, I'm Annie. I am the vocalist of Kooda Cooties.
Hello, I am Kelsey, and I play guitar in Kooda Cooties.
Patty, bass.
Oh, short but sweet. Patty, if we need short answers, I'll look at you. But for the other two, so what the concept is here is that we talk about every song on your new album, every song on your new album, Too Cute to Die, which is a long time coming. But first, shall we paint a picture of Kooda Cooties? Where did you come from? What is this? What is this magic?
So, Kooda Cooties started as Kelsey, our synth player, Shannon, and I. It started in our downstairs lounge where the kids have all of their toys. And Kelsey and Shannon were in a band called Slug Hugger, and that band just kind of ended, and we kind of joked like, oh, maybe we should start a band, but I had these songs. Like, I had these songs, and I was like, I've never been in a band before. I'd really like to do this. And so we just kind of sat down and started like jamming stuff, and my songs kind of came to life with the other two, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there we got a drummer, and then it just expanded from there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in the band, Patty.
Yeah, I joined a little bit later, about a year after the band already existed in 2020, to join a couple of shows in Dunedin and Christchurch. And I was originally intending to just fill in, but they couldn't get rid of me.
And now you're one of the children.
Yes.
In the basement. I love it. And you've gone through, a couple of drummers?
Oh, yeah.
We got a Spinal Tap moment here.
Yeah. For real.
Oh, well, I noticed that, well, we'll get to it, but on one of the tracks at least, there's is there a little bit of electronic drumming? A little bit of, like some drum machine-y?
No, not quite. Moments, we just wanted it to sound like it was.
Cool.
That was the idea. also, shout out to Carway, who drummed on this album for us. Just like amazing work. Mm. Yeah, we're really, really happy with how it was sounding.
Amazing.
Thanks, Carway.
Well, we're nearly ready to launch into this to the album talk. But so obviously, the story doesn't begin and end with the lounge room. You started playing shows. You started enjoying it. People started enjoying it and showing up. And you put some singles out. And then what happened?
Yeah, we started a band, and then we started a social media page. And then out of nowhere, we got asked to open for Crywank, which is a big international kind of indie folky band. And we never figured out who got us onto that, eh? Because we didn't have any music out or anything, just some recordings of us in the garage. And then, yeah, then we made some EPs, and then we just played all around New Zealand all the time, and we didn't ever stop doing that.
Mm. And please don't. And notably, I guess, Amel and the Sniffers set, in which, Amy Taylor, what was the quote?
So good, !! Everyone, check them. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
there was also, you got some good fucking bands in this country.
Yay! That's true, too.
So we'll take that one to the bank.
And you're one of them. You're at least one of them. Kicks off with a real doozy, Breakdown Hair Dye Party, and just even the name tells you kind of like it's got everything. It's got the breakdown. It's got the hair dye party. It's got everything. It's got the full story. But tell us about this number one song.
I wanted to make this song for so long, and it was just like, because I live with Kelsey and Shannon, right? And what we would do is we would always be in the bathroom together dyeing our hair. And especially after like some kind of chaotic life event, you have to get the dopamine somewhere. Like when you feel like your life is falling apart, right? You want to cut like breakup bangs or fringe, you know, you want to dye your hair. And like those memories are so special to me of just being with my close friends, being with my loved ones, being with my family, and experimenting with our hair, experimenting with our look, and doing it together. So like I really wanted it to be this like, you know, encapsulation of this like special thing that we do. We haven't really done it too much together lately, but like as you can probably see, we're still having breakdowns, we're still dyeing our hair. And like I'm just, that's one of the ones that I'm like most proud of, honestly, because like it sounds fucking cool.
It really does.
It sounds really cool. Yeah.
And it's kind of got this, one of these trademark Cootie Cuties things that I'm noticing is that like the song sounds like a party, but buried within might be some hurt, but like that's none of your business, listener. We're partying, so get on board or fuck off.
Yeah, it's like a lot of the songs on the album, we wanted to be mostly about joy and friendship, right? Like, even though there's awful things happening in the world, and there probably always will be until the revolution, you know, we have to find joy in each other, we have to find community in each other, and we have to make every day more bearable together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you beat the monster.
That's right.
How about track two, Splash the Fash? This is a single that was already has come out recently.
Yeah, it came out the year before last.
2023.
Oh no, 2023. When we recorded half the album, and we're hoping to record the rest.
Yeah.
And we wrote it around the time when Posey Parker, the well-known transphobe, came over to visit Auckland and try spread hate. Me and Shannon went along to the rally and we seen Eliana Rubishin throw paint or like red dye or something like that over.
I thought it was like...
It was tomato juice. It was tomato juice, that's right. I was like...
It was organic.
It was definitely tomato juice. That's why we wrote the song. Of course. We've seen that and it was just so cold, like infiltrated from behind the lines.
Yeah.
And they didn't recognize. And then this like transphobe just got like covered in juice. And then we were like, let's write a song about that because that's fucking cool. And it was at a time when like people were like, there was like a lot of like discourse around trans women in sports and around like trans women in bathrooms and stuff. Mm. And we are a band of like very proud queer people.
Mm.
And we were like, we got to have something to say about this.
Absolutely. What the hell is people's problem? That's what I want to know.
They're stuck in the 1950s.
Lead poisoning.
That was an iconic moment, and this is the iconic the iconic soundtrack to that moment. Love it. And have you played it to said splasher?
Okay. So yes, they do know about the song. I think Caraway, there's like a few degrees of separation with our old drummer Caraway who drummed on the album, and so it was shown to them, and we don't really know how they feel about it. Maybe they were like, okay, but like it wasn't like a, oh my god, I'm so glad you wrote this song. It was more like a, all right, sweet ass, you know.
Yeah.
So good enough.
This thing is gonna follow me around forever.
At least they didn't hate it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I care about.
It could have been at a time when they were potentially going to get in big trouble for it, I guess.
They've been through a lot of challenges, yeah. And we have nothing but love and solidarity for them.
Nothing but love, solidarity, and a great track too on Too Cute to Die. Is this one a little bit more of an angry tune?
So, for my money, this is my favourite song on the album. I really love this one.
Yeah, you were jumping
I think
up
this
and down
is some,
in your seat.
This is some of Annie's... I think this is Annie's, like, best lyric writing. Out the bridge is also like a riff on an Edgar Allan Poe poem as well.
Whoa.
Which I didn't realize for ages. I was like, where'd you learn those big words, Annie? I really love the way this one sounds. Very high energy. It's got a bit of like Amel and the Sniffers influence on it, and this one it kind of rounds out the beginning section of the album, which is like the very fast, lot harder, more hardcore adjacent songs.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's sort of this one stood out. Someone will probably bleep that out for me, but I don't know. Track 4, Red Flag.
Yay. Oh my God. Okay, so this song was like written at band practice,
mm-hmm.
like all together.
Yeah.
Which we try to do, but most of the time it's like somebody brings an idea and then we all work on it. But this was like, I think when Alex was still in the band.
Mm-hmm.
Alex and Patty started like jamming the intro to this. And we were like, what is that? You know, mm-hmm. like that sounds like Cootie Cuties. And then it just turned into this thing. And we're like, what is it going to be about? Cause it was like so fun, you know, like the melody and everything. It's like so fun. What are we going to do with it? And then I had just, I just got like ghosted by a situationship and like thinking about all of the red flags that I completely ignored. And so that's what it became about. It became about like red flags that you ignore because they look nice in track pants or, you know, they've got nice hair or they're in a really popular band and you think that you can get like clout or whatever if you like hook up with them anyway. that there is like a bit of like a hint as to who that song is actually about in the song if you listen to it and pay attention. But that's all I'm going
to
say.
All right. Well, we won't, Patty, you're not about to
I'm not convinced it isn't me because when I was typing in the lyrics to Bandcamp last night, I didn't know what a lot of them were, you know, how these things happen. And I'm like, well, a lot of these things kind of normal, like doesn't wash his hair. It's like, well, that's not that weird. That's fine.
And let's
maybe he doesn't like your cat because he's allergic. It's still good.
It's like, and let's be real, Patty. I mean, is there anyone that looks better in track pants?
My red flag that I list is someone enjoying Morrissey, which I actually do like, but I just think that's an extremely funny thing to make fun of someone for, and it's kind of lifted straight out of a Hunks and His Punk song, You Don't Like Rock and Roll. It was meant to be a bit of a placeholder lyric, but it ended up staying in there because I couldn't think of anything that sounded better. So now it's like an intentional reference instead of plagiarism. So
I remember when we were writing it and how we wrote it all together, and Patty was like, can we just try a more simple structure to the song instead of like, because I usually write the crazy songs like Are You Gay and Girls Helping Girls and I think Breakdown, Head I Party, and they've all got quite bizarre structures to them, not traditional. And Patty was like, can we just try like a three chord kind of like structure? And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, you know, what if it's boring? But then Shannon wrote the funnest little synth riff.
Cool.
And I think it just like really brings up the song. It's oh, I love that synth riff. One, two, three, four.
Now, Johnny. Oh, Johnny.
That song is about murdering my ex-husband.
Oh.
In Minecraft.
Which did...
Nah.
did you do that or...
No.
Okay, right. Just a song.
It's a fantasy.
Okay.
It's just a fantasy that I have, like, often about, like, just physically hurting the person that hurt me really, really badly.
Yeah.
And, like, I loved... all those, like, Johnny songs, like those like girl groups from the 60s, like Johnny Angel, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but this time, like, Johnny's like, you know, a John. He's like a client for maybe a sex worker or something. Mm-hmm. And he gets killed because he gets like, you know, a bit fresh. He crosses the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, art imitating life. And it's very cathartic for us to play it.
Yeah. listen, this track six, I guess I just wanted to ask you, because most people, most demon creatures don't announce themselves normally.
I was born to be a succubus. I never met a man that I can't.
Okay, so succubus is about, like, reclaiming your sexuality, using your body to get what you want, mm-hmm. right? And, like, I guess it, you know, of course it's a metaphor. I'm not actually, like, a demon, you know, mm-hmm. who does them things, the harvesting of the sperm. I don't
sure.
do that.
Yeah.
but...
How did you get your child there?
Oh, no! Oh, no, maybe it is true. Nah, like, the succubus was really important for me to write, I think, like, because it just, like, it actually just kind of came to me, like, when I was, like, working at this, like, screen printing shop, mm-hmm. the beginning, the dun, 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 you know? And, I was actually thinking of Madonna, True Blue, because it does share similarities. And I will also share another fun fact about the lyrics of Succubus is that there are, like, at least 5 references to Daryl Hall and John Oates' Maneater in it, because I love Hall & Oates. They're, like, my favorite band ever. Yeah, I think Succubus is... It just is what it is. It's like a fan favorite as well. Like,
yeah.
We always get, like, people singing along in the crowd. People claiming their sexuality as their sexuality and, like, autonomy over their body is hot.
Mm.
It's fucking hot. Like, do what you want with your body, you know? That's how I feel.
Even if it means dragging somebody to hell.
Be that as it may, you know? You gotta do what you gotta
do.
It's 2025.
That's right.
You know?
He did say that, actually. Sorry, everyone. Now, I have another question. Are you gay? Is the song titled number 7? And my question is, can you tell me about this song?
Okay, so Are You Gay is really funny. We were...
We thought so, too, at primary school.
Yeah. We were driving back or driving to Waitangi Waste Fest in Wellington. And we were talking about the person that I had the situationship with before I had the situationship with them. And we were like, I wonder if they're gay, you know, like, or are they straight? Or, like, we were kind of like, but even if they were gay, I'd still like them, you know, like, I'd still be into them and I'd still, like, want to be their friend.
Still like me if I had a
we kind of flip the narrative too and say that we'll still like you if you're straight in the lyrics of the song, because it's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
But for me, that song's really speaking about bisexual anxiety, especially like as a femme and like approaching like other femmes. Like there's so much anxiety there, like with like how to tell if someone's into you and like how to tell if they're into girls, and like I don't know, it's weird and it shouldn't be weird, and I hope it's not so weird for the next generation.
Yeah.
But that song was a lot of fun to write.
Now, conversations. That sounds like a very serious topic.
Yeah, this one's about dialectics. So this one's just like, I just straight up wrote this one. We had 9 songs for the album. Oh, and it's like, we need 10. We're going to record in like
a
week. I'm just like, here you go.
On the album.
So I actually didn't want to sing this one lead, to be honest, but Annie insisted on it.
Oh.
So it's very simple in concept and simple in structure. Is very like 3 chord, just hammers on that, and very just doesn't let up, which I love that style of song. But it's quite hard when to write that, to have the confidence in just being like, no, it's going to be these 3 chords and it isn't going to change. And you have to kind of stand on your square when it comes to that.
Yeah. I come from a background of 2 chords, and so 3 chords is kind of impressive to me.
Oh, you'll get there one day, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's still working out where you go, you know? okay, well, anything else to add about conversations?
Yeah, it's just about communication, and that in life you have to say the things that are on your mind. It's a total cliche, but I went through a period in my life where I just really had to learn it the hard way, and that's what that song's about to me.
Great. Well, now you look, you just did it. You're really good at it now. You just said exactly what you're thinking.
Thanks.
Oh, we're all really proud of you. Yeah. Oh, you're crying.
Why'd you take your shirt off? You got me stepping on a landmine tonight. I'm in the darkest time. Conversations running past in my mind. I'm with myself on the line. Got me ripping out my hands and hairline. But can I make it tonight? Body shaking like a tense beat turbine. I'm never gonna be fine.
Conversation.
Oh, I've had half a Red Bull. Look at those little days going crazy. Now, this song's title stresses me out because I hate going to St. Luke's so much. Tell me about more madness.
That's right. Welcome to St. Luke's Shopping Center. Yeah, this was, I had this like weird, like stupid, like jingle in my head that was like, do, and I just kept like, we got to make a song about this, but it's like elevator music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was this board game in the 90s called Mall Madness, mm-hmm. right? And you'd set up the mall on the board and there you'd get these little credit cards, right? Everybody would get these little credit cards and you move your little person all around the mall and then there'd be like a button that you push and it'd be like shoe sale over here at Tommy's shoe store. And all you'd have to move your little pieces and get them all over to get the sale. And then if you got like all the things on your shopping list or whatever, you won the game. That was very formative. Like, I don't know. There's just something about that game was like so retro. You know, let's go to the mall. It's like very like 80s, 90s.
Hang on, are you from another country?
I am.
Oh, okay, because I don't remember this game.
I can't believe, no, surely you would have had it here.
No, if you'd seen the malls we had in the 90s, they would not be making board games about them.
Oh my God.
They were about the size of board games, these
malls.
Well,
yeah, mall culture is huge where I'm from in New Jersey. There's like 17 freaking malls, you know, like, and what I also love is a dead mall, a derelict shopping center that maybe there's like two or three like anchor stores and it's just dead otherwise. And like I watch these videos on YouTube of like liminal spaces where people go and walk through these dead malls, and it's like it's kind of comforting in a way to me because it's like there's capitalism, right? There's these giant structures of capitalism and they are decaying, you know? And you look at the parking lot and it's like all covered in weeds and nature is taking over.
I'm
the outro of All Madness. Kelsey, could you remind me, you sort of based it off a poem.
It wasn't a comic. It wasn't a graphic novel. And when we were writing that song for me, I had just started working teaching primary school kids about environmental education. And like, I was learning everything about like landfills and about waste and about resource use and where all of our resources go and just fucking how much devastation there is like around like resources and waste. So I was probably ranting about it all the time, like just talking nonstop, because when I'm interested in something, I talk nonstop. So that's probably why we started writing about that, I think, in the first place. But yeah, then I was reading this graphic novel that was really, really beautiful. And I was talking about all the devastating things happening on planet Earth at the moment. And then it had a big chunk at the end about all the beautiful things, about skateboarding. Just like the joy of like skateboarding and like riding bikes.
Track 10, the closing moments of Too Cute to Die. It's called Girls Helping Girls, and I think I'll let you do the rest.
Okay, Girls Helping Girls. I'm glad it's the last song on the album. I think it's actually a great way to round it out because it has so much. It's got like the quite like girl group beginning, and then it like cracks right into this like super like 90s skate punk verse, and then it kind of slows back down again, and we get this me like talking about solidarity, about helping people even if you don't like them.
Yeah.
Being a part of a community means you have to step up and like do things that you're maybe not comfortable with, or help people that you don't really like. It doesn't really matter about the petty bullshit within scenes. Like if someone was in trouble and I didn't necessarily like their boyfriend or their friends, like you better believe that we have to step up and help each other, right?
We don't build each other up, we'll never die.
too cute to die.
Thank you, 1 to 12.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. Thank you, everyone at 1 to 12 for, like, doing this. Like, putting our album on vinyl, because it's definitely something that we never thought that we would achieve on our own. And look, we didn't achieve it on our own. We had help, and we're very appreciative.
Oh. One fateful evening at Ponsonby Food International Food Court.
That's right. Woo! That's right.
From
yeah.
noodles to caboodles. I don't know. Is there another rhyme?
Yeah, you could.
Caboodles.
Yeah. Poodles?
We'd be caboodling.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much. And Hunter, I hope that was, was that all right?
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.